How can we make the most of 2019? It's a question that you may well be asking yourself as you start this new year. There's lots of conversations about New Year's resolutions, about new goals, health drives, different exercises and diets that people can go on. And those things are good, they're great, but what can we really do to make the most of 2019? Too often, I think, we can think that a few resolutions are somehow the answer. Well, this year, I'll get it right. This year, I'll put my mind to it. I'll try harder, and I'll be a better person. That's kind of the message that we hear in society. Try hard, do better, and you'll be better for it. Health-wise, socially, your life situation. It's not really what we find as we read the Bible. It's not about us just trying harder. I was reading something about this last week, and one of the points that the article was making was that rather than just more resolutions that we have for life, we should, as Christians, if we follow Jesus here this morning, then we kind of know what we're meant to do. We know how we can make the most of this year ahead. It's about being reminded of that and a recommitment. Never stopping to restart. You know, when you watch a race in the Olympics, there's that gun that goes off, the starter gun, and quite often someone does a false start. And they've changed the rules now, and you're not allowed more than one error. The next person that makes the false start is then disqualified. It's really hard. You can't really have a restart. It's kind of, you've got to get it right first time. Well, the great news is, as we think about this topic this morning, we get a chance to have a restart every year, every day, if we follow Jesus, because our life's based on his grace and love, not our trying hard and being better. So let's find out a bit about what this looks like. Maybe you've got a weekly planner, a pen and a paper, or a device like this on the screen, and you think, right, how can I make the most of this year? What do I need to do with my days and my weeks to make sure that I make the best of the time that I have? And that's a really good question. It's a question that I asked myself this week, and I was journaling a bit and writing down ideas about how I could make a good use of my time this year. And it's the theme that I want us to focus on this question: how can we make the best use of the time that we have? Quite often, we can feel chaotic, hurried, busy, reactive rather than proactive, can't we? I was in London over the holiday week, and just the tubes are quite an environment, aren't they? If you've ever been on the Underground, you'll know there's a busyness. There's a kind of a crazy energy that goes on in the tube stations as people are flying through the little kind of gates, and they're jumping on a tube and they're double checking and they're on the right one. They're checking their phone, realizing there's no signal, which is quite good, and not quite sure what to do with themselves. And maybe they start thinking about where they're going or what they've been doing. And there's this hurried, frenzied feel about life. And I think that kind of captures something that many of us might feel as we go through our years. We feel hurried and frenzied and chaotic and busy and unable to really make the most of the time that we have. And I wonder whether we can start this year a little bit more wisely. Certainly I'm speaking to myself in this, in how to make the most, not just of my work, not just of my family and friends, but of my spiritual walk, my spiritual journey. There's a quote that I read this week by someone called Jeremy Lyman, who's a pastor in America. He said, "We often fail to grow spiritually because we haven't planned and made space for a deep, abiding fellowship with God." And so one of the issues is we assume that we'll grow. We'll assume that just going to church and doing the things we've done will be enough to feed us, to shape us, to help us to grow. But maybe that isn't enough. Maybe we haven't, and we need to instead invest more in a deeper, abiding, regular fellowship with God. So we're going to think a bit about how that can be worked out. So how can we make the most of 2019? Well, as I said, making the best use of the time we have. Now, one of the gifts that I got this Christmas, in fact, for my birthday, was a new watch. And I really like this watch, and I'm discovering gradually how to work it. Now, you might think, oh, it's a watch, come on. It tells the time, it might have the date, maybe there's a stopwatch function on it as well, which it does have. Sorry, some people are looking. There we go, there's my new watch. But it does more than that, it's a smartwatch. Now, it doesn't really look like a smartwatch, other than the fact that it looks smart. It doesn't look extremely technological, but I have an app on my phone. As I walk now, it's counting the steps that I'm doing. Clever, isn't it? See, this clock face, this watch, does far more. It helps me to make the best use of the time. So, in fact, yesterday when we had a family gathering and we needed a photo of the family gathering, I could set up my phone with my camera, stand in. You get ready for this, guys. Stand in, you're probably thinking, yeah, we've had this for a couple of years, and press one of my watch buttons, and it took a photo. It didn't have to be that timer thing. Is that good? Now, making the best use of the time we have. Look, saving seconds, literally. Isn't that impressive? So how could we do even more than just a smart watch and a great app on a phone? How could we do more with the time that we have in 2019? Is there a shortcut that we could learn this morning from God's word, not just Oz's new technological advances, and somehow see that we're abiding in a deeper relationship with Jesus? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, as we think a bit about time, we see that time matters to God. In John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says, "My time has not yet come." Now, he was talking to the disciples, but also he was speaking to the Jewish leaders of the day and saying, no, my time has not yet come. It's not time for Jesus to go to Jerusalem and do what he needed to do, fulfill his mission. And so Jesus delayed his journey to Jerusalem and remained in Galilee instead, until the time was right. In Galatians chapter 4, we read, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." So, when the time had fully come, God sent Jesus. When the time was right, he sent his Son in order to bring redemption, enable us to become children of God as we look to him in faith. But there was a right time for that to happen. Time matters to God. Romans 5 verse 6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Not just any time, at the right time. God in his sovereign planning knew the right time. And at just the right time, Jesus came and died for us, for humanity, in the sinful, powerless state that we're in order for us to be made like him. So how does that relate to us making the most of 2019? Well, I think this concept of time is important. It's important to God. We see it on the grand scale of the plan of salvation, but we also see it in our lives as we figure out what it looks like to live out our lives following Jesus. And I'm going to focus on a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll unpick some of that, and hopefully we'll learn how we can grow in this area. Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church that was quite a young church, but it had been growing rapidly over the course of a number of years. And this is what he says in chapter 5, towards the end of his letter. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." How can we make the most of 2019? Well, I think the first way we see is by making the best use of the time by living wisely. And the passage said in verse 15, because the days are evil. So we need to live wisely. And that's partly because the context that we live in is evil. We wouldn't often talk about the evil of society, would we? The evil of the workplace. But that's how Paul describes the context in Ephesus, the city that the church were in there, that he wrote to. And what we find in the passage is quite interesting, because what we see is that Paul says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully. So at the start of this year, we're looking carefully. We're thinking about how to use our time through 2019. And I think that's really important to stop, reflect, consider, plan, be a bit strategic. How am I going to use my time? How am I going to kind of spend my time at work and family and with the children or with my friends if I haven't got a family? Or how am I going to use my money? Thinking carefully about the way we live. So Paul uses the word walk, which is a bit like the word live. And that's the image that he has. As we walk through life, as we journey through life, as we live, we need to be wise, not unwise. Now, we kind of know that. I guess most people in the world would want to be wise, not unwise. But Paul's talking about a spiritual wisdom, a way of walking that is not normal to most people, a way that's more understood by who God is. God who is not evil, but good and pure and holy. And Paul says, making the most or the best use of the time. In other translation, it says the most of every opportunity. So this isn't just about the hours of the day. This is about the opportunities that arise in your working day, in your home life, in your school days. What does he mean then by saying this? The most of every opportunity, the best use of the time that we have. Well, it means living wisely, being thoughtful about what we say, how we spend our money, our attitude to the things that we're doing, because the days are evil. You see, the days are evil. This is another concept of time. The days, the period of time we're in, is that actually there's a lot of problems in the world. Sin within individual hearts and within communities has a negative impact and effect on many. And the days that we're in are generally evil. That's how Paul sees it. There's problems. There's conflict on a small scale and on a big scale. And Paul is encouraging the church and us to make the best use of the time because of that. I was just walking down the high street in London, one of the many amazing streets with lovely lights just this last week. And it was a couple of days after Boxing Day, actually. And loads of people were rushing along the streets of London with their shopping bags, in and out of Oxford Street and Regent Street. I don't quite earn enough to shop in those places. But quite nice to see that environment and kind of take in some of the beauty and the wonder of the lights on display in central London. But what struck me as I heard was that one third of people buy something on Boxing Day, the very next day following Christmas Day, when we've all received a bunch of things. Isn't that a bit peculiar? It's like we didn't quite get enough, so we're going to spend more money the next day. Now, the sales aren't just January, are they, anymore? They're sort of Boxing Day forward. So that might be one reason that a third of us in this room, if we're a fair representative of Britain, bought something on Boxing Day. I'm not saying that's evil. Not saying that's wrong, don't worry. But maybe that reflects something about what we value and how we use our time. Now, the best way to use your money, you could argue, is to buy something on Boxing Day because it's cheaper. So therefore, it's a good use of time. The sales don't last forever. Get to those January or Boxing Day sales quickly. That is making the best use of your time, making the most of that opportunity. Well, spiritually speaking, what we find in Ephesians is we need to make the most of every opportunity, the best use of the time that we have now, this year. So what does that really look like? Well, Jonathan Edwards, who was a theologian in several hundred years ago now in America and brought about a great kind of awakening in America, said this just before his 20th birthday. Now, this was his 70th resolution. All right, I don't know how many resolutions you've made, but this was his 70th. He said, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Wow. That kind of speaks into this topic, doesn't it? To make the most of every moment, to improve it. Maybe that means by saying something encouraging to someone rather than just passing the opportunity. Maybe that means how you work on a project at school this year, making the most of your attitude and your work rate because you know that's a good thing. Maybe it's about how you serve in the home without being asked, with the washing up or the hoovering or your bedroom or whatever else it might be. But making the most of every opportunity. But I think it extends beyond those practical things and into our kind of own walks with Jesus as well, our own spiritual lives, planning how to spend your time with God each day. Most of us, if we're Christians, know that it's good for us to spend time with God each day, reading the Bible, praying. But we find it hard to put it into practice. Well, maybe as you think about making the most of every opportunity, what opportunity could you create each day to spend time with God? How about with friends speaking about Jesus or reading the Bible or praying? Or with your family doing a family devotional? Thinking about different materials that are out there that are really good for encouraging family mealtimes and discussions. Or in how you not only attend church and midweek life group, but could meet up with others and kind of ask them kind of real questions. Go, how are you really coping in this area of life? How can we this year make the most of our spiritual growth? Maybe there's one for you to take away and pray into. But the passage that we read continues and it brings out something else. What you'll have noticed as we read it was that Paul kind of works off opposites. He kind of says, walk in a way that's wise, not unwise, making the best use of time. And then he says, don't be foolish, but instead understand what the will of the Lord is. So before it was don't be unwise, but be wise. And now it's, don't be foolish, but understand God's will for you. And how can we make the best of the time that we have? Well, by understanding God's will for us. Because it's all too easy, isn't it, to be foolish? It's all too easy to do the thing that we naturally want to do. Our will, rather than God's will. So our will is naturally bent towards selfish things and impure motives and desires rather than God-given ones, godly desires. And so one way that we can overcome that is by understanding what God's will for us is, what he wants us to do with our life. And there are two areas really of this that we need to understand. One is kind of the general will of God, which is the same for everyone. It's what Dan started the service with, becoming like Jesus. God's will for you and me is exactly the same in that he wants us to become more like his son, more loving and servant-hearted and gracious and gentle and convicted by, full of the truth, all those things, full of the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to be like that this year. So on one level, 2019 is the same as 2018, the same as 2017, and every year before that, become like Jesus. Every decision you make, how does it help that? Every aspect of your life, ask that question. Is it adding to it or not? Because it's all too easy to be foolish. But the other area of God's will is the more particular will that we each have, our own journey in life, the jobs that we apply for, the person that we're interested in and not sure whether we should ask out and consider for marriage, the opportunity to buy a home, the university course that we may or may not be sure whether we should apply for, the subjects, the options evening, any year nines out there, that we need to think about which subjects should we take at school. All these different elements, what's great is that we can pray about them and seek God's will, and he can guide us. And what is the way that we can make the best use of God's best use of the time that we have? Well, by not just seeking guidance through the Bible, as important as that is in our own walks with him, but also by asking other Christians, by being open to God's Spirit prompting and leading us, by prayer, by using the common sense that God's given us, logic. If you're interested in certain areas, then yeah, probably go for those options at options evening. That makes sense. You're going to be more likely to study hard because you're interested in them than ignoring that area or that particular subject. So God's will, make the best use of the time by understanding God's will for you. As we understand God's will for us in 2019 and live in that, we will grow. We will become more like Christ. Got a picture here of a Bible and a map and various other things, a lamp. And guidance is not always easy, is it? We need a kind of broad approach, because often we can pray and not really feel like we're hearing God lead us specifically. And that's often because we need to take a step of faith and trust him. He's more interested in our trust of him than all the details of what we do or don't do. In fact, if we trust him and we've prayed and we've asked other Christians and we've got their wisdom and their input, then it's going to be okay. God's with us. He'll make it work out. Don't worry about making the wrong choice if it's a good thing that you're choosing to do. And trusting that God is with you, then that's okay. Take the pressure off a bit. But it's important, isn't it, to think about how we come to those decisions and seek God. Like if you're going on a long walk with a map, you need that guidance so that you know the way to go. You might need that compass if the weather goes bad, and that kind of fluorescent jacket if you're on the top of a mountain and suddenly in a difficult spot, and maybe a mobile phone, but you'll probably find you haven't got signal at the top of the mountain, strangely. We need different things for different circumstances. And when we are trying to make the best use of the time that we have by growing in understanding God's will, we need to be aware of these things. One particular challenge that came to me as I was praying and preparing this is for I think, as a community, individuals to grow by asking other Christians before making a significant decision. Too often, I think, in our culture, what's encouraged is you choose what's best. What feels good, go for it. And no one can really make a negative judgment on that or kind of criticize that. If it's right, then you just do it and it'll be fine. Dream whatever and you'll achieve it. Actually, I really think we need to ask people for their wise counsel, their wisdom, before making big decisions. And too often, people make them on their own, are committed to them, and then seek sort of affirmation afterwards. And it's very hard to shape people in the right direction once that course has been taken. If you've got a big decision coming up this year, or this week, this month, pray about it. Look to God's word for guidance, but also ask Christians who you respect and trust, and listen to them. Take it on board. And then the next area that we find as the passage continues is that we can make the best use of the time by being filled with the Spirit. And in a way, this is the most important, because as we're filled with God's Spirit, we're able to understand and hear his guidance and then live wisely. So it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But what we find in the passage is that it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So remember, we had be wise, don't be unwise. Seek God's will, don't be foolish. And now, be filled with the Spirit, don't get drunk on wine. Now, that kind of contrast of being drunk in comparison, being filled with the Spirit, is an important one. Alcohol, being under the influence of alcohol, has an impact, doesn't it? It changes our behaviour. Being filled with the Spirit, being under the influence of the Spirit, changes our behaviour because we're driven by Him rather than ourselves. However, the kind of comparisons end there, because whilst alcohol and being drunk leads us to a lack of self-control and wrong choices, saying things that we then regret, looking at things we then regret, doing things that are wrong and unhelpful. Oppositely, as we're filled with God's Spirit, we find that we gain self-control. We're more driven to love and gentleness and care and concern for others. We're driven by God, not ourselves. And so Paul here is bringing us this comparison going, don't do this drunkenness that the world do, that the people that are evil do. But instead be filled with the Spirit. Be full of God, not other things. And you could kind of replace alcohol with any number of other things, because it's easy, isn't it, to be filled with the wrong things. We know that this time of year, too much food and drink and things and sleep possibly and kind of sofa time, whatever else, TV. It's easy to be filled with things that are kind of good in themselves, but too much of them isn't always helpful, isn't good. Making the best use of the time this year means being filled with God, with His Spirit. And as we're filled with His Spirit, we're able to live out lives that are wise, lives that are guided by God, not the world, not our wrong, sinful desires. When we become a Christian, we receive God's Spirit. He regenerates our heart and enables us to know we're forgiven and know we have His Spirit within us for the rest of our lives. But then, since that point and onward, we constantly need to be refreshed and refilled and renewed by God's Spirit. And that's why Paul's saying, be filled. They already have God's Spirit in them as Christians, as the church. But he's saying, be filled. It's a thing. Let God come into you. Let His presence reign in you. This is something that is kind of passive on one level, but it's about being open. Be open to God. And so each day, what would be a great way of implementing this would be to just kind of, in your time with God, just pray, God, just fill me again with your Spirit. An openness, a readiness, a hunger, a thirst for God to fill us up. And as we do that, we go into our day able to serve Him and live for Him in a way that is pleasing and discerning of His will for our life. And what we find is a few specific ways that we can maybe see that we're filled with the Spirit that are so in contrast to being filled with wine and being drunk, for example, or filled with wrong things that are unhelpful. And the outcome of each of them is so that you can love God and others. There's four kind of specific things that Paul says is be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, and then giving thanks always, and then also submitting. So we've got these four kind of commands that are crystal clear. This is what Spirit-filled Christian living looks like. This is what it looks like to live out your lives wisely, living out God's will in practice. So the first one, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You might think, what? How do we do that? Do we kind of walk down the corridor to get a coffee, addressing one another in song? Be quite a sound, wouldn't it? We should try it. Who's up for trying that on their way to grab the coffee? Ross is going to lead the way with that. Superb. Now, that addressing kind of means speaking to, if you look at other translations, and that kind of is what it's getting at. Actually, as we sing, as we were singing earlier, we were addressing one another in hymns and spiritual songs. We not only sing to God when we worship, we sing to one another. We kind of encourage one another to adore God, to love Him, to follow Him. And as we address one another in songs, that's what we're doing. It's good for our soul. However you sing, whether it's a wonderful noise to your neighbor's ear or not. Making melody to the Lord from your heart. It's not an audition, don't worry. This is a beautiful sound to God, because if it's from your heart, from deep within, this is to express his great love for you and what he's done to save you. So firstly, we kind of, as we worship corporately and together, it's something that we do to one another. We encourage each other. That's why we sing at Barton. That's why we have time of worship. We can address one another like that. That's a sign of being spirit-filled, doing that genuinely and authentically. But also singing itself to the Lord with your heart. So we sing and that encourages one another, and we sing to God, to the Lord. We're proclaiming his greatness, his glory, his grace, his salvation for us through his son Jesus and by the power of his spirit. And so as we sing and make melody, we're doing that. That's a thing to be filled with the spirit. It's a natural overflow to love to sing, to rejoice in worshiping God. And then we have giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Too often, I think, as a culture, we're good at grumbling, aren't we? We grumble about the weather, about the roads, about food, about all sorts of things. Well, maybe this is how we can be a bit countercultural and be, instead of a grumbling individual, a grateful individual, showing gratitude, showing a gratefulness for what we do have rather than just what we don't have. How do we show that we're spirit-filled? Well, by loving God and others in our thankful attitude. And then maybe the hardest one, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I think the out of reverence for Christ bit is the key, isn't it? It's really hard to submit to one another. It's only by God's spirit in us that we are able to. But as we keep in mind who Jesus is, a reverence, a fear, an awareness of his awesome greatness, that's what motivates us to submit to one another, to let others choose and lead and submit to their ways. Not being a doormat, we're doing it out of reverence for Christ because of who he is, but certainly kind of loving sacrificially other people's interests before our own. And so Paul is working hard here to kind of encourage and challenge the church and us today to make the best use of the time that we have. And being spirit-filled is essential for that. Maybe you can think about your sung worship. Maybe you can think about your ability to submit to one other people that have just got a different view. Or how your attitude of thankfulness is at the moment. Practically, what does that look like in 2019 for you? Well, it starts now. Think about how you can make the most of every opportunity to grow in being spirit filled. But I think it would be wrong to kind of not refer to this in the context of an urgency. Make the most of 2019 by seeking God with urgency. This isn't just an optional extra. If you're a Christian, then you're committed to following Jesus, and you're aware that the days are numbered, that time is ticking. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." See, the time is now, not tomorrow, not next year, now, today. And for some, maybe that means following Jesus today, deciding to say sorry for the wrong you've done and putting your faith in him. Today is the day of salvation. Don't keep putting it off. We don't know exactly when Jesus will return. Today is the time of God's favor, his grace. It's what we sing about, what we celebrate. And if we follow Jesus, then let's be aware of the urgency to seek him and to grow in him, to invest spiritually, not just in our work, in our jobs, not just in how hard we study for our GCSEs or A-levels or degrees, not just in how much time we offer to our children or to our friends, but in our relationship with God, which then impacts all those other relationships. See, too often I think we can be time wasters, can't we? You don't like a time waster. You know, society generally is negative towards time waster. Come on, we're against the clock. We've got things to do. We want to be efficient. We want to achieve things. We want to do well. Time wasting is not viewed that positively. There's a parable in the Bible about it that Jesus gives. And I'm going to read it so that it helps us to see why it's important to make the most of every opportunity. Why we need to be urgent and not time wasters. This is Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We don't know the day or the hour. If you know the bridegroom, Jesus, then make sure you're growing and investing and you're ready. Don't be unwise. Let's be a wise church. Let's be a church that seeks God's guidance. Let's be a church that's spirit-filled. And as with those things, we will naturally be urgent in our seeking of God. That's how we can make the most of 2019. To urgently seek God, because it's the most important thing to get right this year. And as we seek God, as we get to know him more, as we grow in him, we become like his son Jesus. And we're able to cope with whatever 2019 throws at us. Not on our own, but with God's spirit, with God's people, with God's word. And so maybe you're in a place of challenge at the moment and struggle, and you need to just lean into God. Maybe you're in a place where you're not quite at faith yet, and this is a message you need to hear to decide to follow him, because today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you just need to go and look at the week, the year ahead, and say, how can I grow in wisdom? How can I grow in knowing God's will for me? How can I be filled with his spirit more? Let me pray that we would, as a church and as individuals, implement those things. Lord God, I thank you that today is the day of salvation, that the time is now. Your grace is here. And I pray that for any that need to respond to that message, that they would. I pray that for all of us that maybe have responded in the past to that message, that we would not become lazy and lethargic in our faith, but seriously, urgently seek you, that we would live lives that are wise, that are guided by your will, and that are spirit-filled, so that we can make the most of all the opportunities you give us. Lord, I pray that our witness to outsiders, those that don't know you yet, would be so bold and clear that people would be drawn to you. I pray that you'd help us to make holy choices so that we would bring you great glory. In Jesus' name, amen.